Up. The time of tyranny is now, December 22nd, 2010. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name is Daniel Libby, and joining us tonight on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. Thanks for listening. This is our show lineup. Right now, we got a segment coming in from Robin Yetto, a report on what's been going on, something going on with the with the environment, with the legal system, and the SLAPP advisory panel. We're going to have an interview with Shane Moffitt coming up. Shane Moffitt, who works with Greenpeace Canada, and then also joining us in the show later on in the show, we're going to have the editor of the Mohawk Nation News, Cantonitha Horn, to give us an update on everything that's been going on with the Mohawk Nation News. Her legal situation and knowledge from Cantonitha Horn. Always great to speak with her. Then plus we're also going to be hearing something, a clip recorded on the weekend featuring Ron Stevens on why wind farms, Canada's foremost authority on wind farms. Ron Stevens, going to hear from him later on in the show too. So all that and more. We got G20 news headlines we got to go through. We've got some musical breaks to go through. We've got some community news, community radio, and a lot of headlines about what's actually been going on recently, in the time when everyone's busy, it seems like, at the end of the year, the holiday season, seems like a lot of political shenanigans are going on. Well, we'll be all that and more coming up here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we'll be right back. Hold on, stay tuned. Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. 7 to 8 p.m. on CKLN 88.1 FM. Broadcasting from Toronto, Ontario, Ryerson University campus, CKLN.
This is Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, Word Up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're about to get into our first segment of the show. Rob Nieto, longtime co-host on the show, has a report. He's prepared a report for us about SLAPPs in Ontario. And not the physical kind, but the kind that hurts the most. Lawsuits from the rich. And it's Ontario's Attorney General received a report from the anti-SLAPP advisory panel yesterday. And in this segment, you'll hear from Robin Yetto's interview with Shane Moffitt, and Shane Moffitt is the legal and communications advisor of Greenpeace Canada, who actually proposed recommendations on that panel. So without any further ado, this is Robin Yetto's segment on the SLAPP panel.
An uncle of mine told me many years ago, "You can't touch the rich." He never really explained why, but he told me with such serene confidence that I took it to be a piece of wisdom he inherited. Today I learned a little bit about what my uncle meant by looking at what the rich do when you actually do try to touch them. In Ontario, they actually slap you. Here to tell us more about this is Shane Moffitt. He is the legal and communications advisor at Greenpeace Canada. Shane, tell us about these slaps and why it's put a chill on people in this province.
Well, SLAPP refers to strategic litigation against public participation. In short, SLAPP refers to lawsuits or the threat of lawsuits against organizations or individuals who are engaged in the public sphere, primarily when they're discussing issues of public interest. These lawsuits aim to intimidate and silence the organizations or individuals. They've become a real concern for everyone in Ontario, given that they target local communities who try to participate in land development planning processes, individuals who question environmentally harmful projects, and NGOs who try to hold corporations accountable. When 64 municipalities in Ontario pass a resolution calling for anti-SLAPP legislation, you know that there's a serious issue. An expert panel appointed by the Attorney General recently concluded that the threats of lawsuits for speaking out on matters of public interest, combined with a number of actual lawsuits, now deter significant numbers of people from participating in discussions on such matters.
So if you're a person out there involved in your community and trying to do something for you and your neighbors, and you have to go to court, how do you know that you're being slapped, and how does the court know that you're being slapped?
Well, you know that you're being slapped when you try to exercise your democratic rights, such as free speech and the right to protest, and you find yourself facing a bankruptcy for a frivolous lawsuit. Many slap suits never see the light of day and never go to court because the damage is done before this stage. Intimidation and dissuasion is the name of the game.
So why did Greenpeace get involved with the slaps? Because just tell us about the participation of Greenpeace in terms of advising the anti-slap advisory panel.
Well, Greenpeace got involved for a number of reasons. For example, as a victim of slap suits past and present, we are in a good position to provide concrete and practical advice on legislative reform. That's the reason that we submitted a lengthy written proposal in August of this year. More broadly, it's a matter of fundamental importance that people, communities, and NGOs can involve themselves in meaningful public participation in the face of wealthy corporate interests. If opponents of corporate abuses are reduced to issuing bland press releases in the face of well-financed media blitzes, this does not amount to equality of arms in the public sphere.
So what does this anti-slap legislation actually propose?
Well, at this stage, the Attorney General has received a report from a formally constituted advisory panel, which in turn will inform legislation that has yet to be drafted. However, anti-slap legislation, in the words of the panel, must prevent the use of legal processes that affect people's ability or willingness to express views or take action on matters of public interest.
Does anti-slap legislation mean new rights for people?
No. People already have, in theory, or ought to have, freedom of assembly, free speech, and the right to protest. And bundled up in those series of rights is the right to public participation, meaningful public participation. The idea behind anti-slap reform is to ensure that people can enjoy these rights in practice without the threat of lawsuits. Creating new categories of rights may be desirable, but this is only about ensuring that our existing rights are able to exercise our existing rights at a minimum.
So even if this anti-slap legislation does get passed, what does it mean for groups like Greenpeace that practice civil disobedience?
Well, if anti-slap legislation is passed, and I certainly hope that it will be, it won't mean that we enjoy any new rights or privileges. Rather, it will mean that we can at least make our voice heard by carrying out creative, peaceful protests, shining a light on environmental destruction, and speaking loudly on matters of public interest. Again, given the vast financial resources enjoyed by many corporations, it won't quite mean equality in the public arena, unfortunately, but it will at least mean that we can continue to make our voice heard. Without anti-slap reform, everyone is at a risk of being permanently silenced.
Are anti-slap laws in place anywhere else in this continent?
Yes, in about half of the United States and in Quebec, which enacted legislation in 2009. One lesson we have learned from these other experiences is that effectiveness must be a priority from the start. For example, unless defendants of slap lawsuits are provided with immediate access to legal and other resources, they will be intimidated into silence. Measures to disincentivize slap suits and to speed up the process are all very well, but the issue is basically one of unequal access to legal counsel and unequal access to justice as a result. Corporations can often easily afford a team of lawyers, but even defending yourself against baseless charges in court will bankrupt most ordinary people. Take an ordinary mother who wants to have a public discussion about a development project in, say, Southern Ontario. If she receives a letter informing her that she could face $1 million tab for speaking her mind, she has far too much to lose to take that kind of risk. In some respects, you could say that this is an act of corporate violence against the person, making us fear for our livelihoods and the well-being of our loved ones.
So what chance is there to actually get this passed, get this legislation passed in Ontario? What have you been seeing at the legislature that would make you believe that what was given to the Attorney General through the anti-slap advisory panel would actually be passed into law in this province?
I have to say it's very early to speculate on that. I would say that I'm encouraged by the advisory panel's findings. And certainly it was gratifying to see that the panel was able to take serious issues like the public interest, local democracy, and civil liberties into consideration. We'll simply have to wait and see if the Ontario government can continue what has been a good start.
Thanks, Shane, for joining us here on Wednesday Word of Mouth and letting me know why my uncle was right up to now, anyway.
Word up. Thanks to Robin Nieto for sending that segment in. Recorded interview there that you just heard. Interview with legal and communications advisor from Greenpeace Canada, Shane Moffat. And that was talking about the SLAPP panel, SLAPP lawsuits, and a subject you don't really hear too much about in the media. So that's why, you know, it's important to think about when we're thinking about the legal system, thinking about the justice system, thinking about what the media is not talking about. That's why I got some notes here about what I was talking about when I'm saying, you know, the politicians seem to be like to get this stuff in right during the holiday season and controversial things that have been happening. But actually, the first headline I just wanted to mention here, first off, was that the CKLN bylaw meeting that took place last week, and that was actually why we pre-recorded the show last week. If you noticed something a bit different in the show last week, well, that's because it wasn't actually live, it was pre-recorded. So I attended the bylaws meeting. It was good to see that there's some CKLN membership out to discuss these issues, and the CKLN now has new bylaws, so keep that in mind when you're doing your research on community radio, at least passed by the members. New bylaws passed by the members, I should say. They haven't been totally, ratified or approved yet, but these are passed bylaws, so... you know, we got a new order here at CKLN, but around the world, what's been going on? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Politicians and controversial things that have happened in the holiday season within the past few weeks. Let me just name a few here. Passed in Canada, in the Senate, Bill C-36, putting natural health and food products under Codex Alimentarius. This has been a controversial thing that's been going on, Bill C-36, and it's a bill that's gone on under different names, but now it's passed as C-36. All food and natural health products are going to be under this Codex Alimentarius. You can search Codex on the internet to find some of the conspiracy theories on this. Also in Canada, the CETA trade agreement has put Canada under the EU standards. So that's a Canada-Europe trade agreement. So look out for that one. That was a few weeks ago, but what happened last week while Canada was passing that C-36 that I mentioned previously, the USA down south passed Bill S-510, Food and Safety Modernization Act. Big one last night. Okay, this is taking place last night, I think around 11 p.m. The headlines came out that the new open internet rules for wireless passed last night. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission have now gone ahead and created a two-tier internet. Democratic Senator Al Franken has gone as far as to say in this debate over net neutrality that this is the most important free speech issue of our time. This is something we're going to be looking into. What are they really doing with the wireless? And this ties in with all the WikiLeaks controversy that's been going on with Julian Assange and global media and free speech. Well, the Harper government quietly released a report on water quality in the tar sands also, I think, a few days ago. Another one, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens when... All this stuff has been talked about that it was going to happen, but you know, it just is. Maybe it's just a big coincidence. It just all happens, you know, right at the end of the year, right before all these groups are going on their big holiday retreats, that they pass this controversial stuff. Well, not many people are looking about it, and even less people are talking about it. But we're going to get into the G20 headlines because at least we've got some action on the G20 front. All the talk that you've been hearing for the past few months, hopefully some of it's paid off because there are some new updates we've got on the G20 situation. But first, I'll just play a track here. One of our favorite MCs on the Word of Mouth Wednesday is Illogic, and this is a track called Do What You Love, Illogic of Test Their Logic. Stay tuned, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll be right back right after this. CKLN 88.1, Word Up, Word of Mouth. Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is Illogic. Test the logic. Do what you love.
Every day, I wake up and give thanks for this life. Life is but a dream, a spirit, a ghost inside the machine. Like a river, it flows gentle as a stream. The rapids come rapidly, we see the knowledge we find within its shore. Swim upstream if you choose to ignore the signs around you. It's time to explore the nature of being. Bust down the door, sing this song, yeah, write the score. Through the sunny days, even if it pours, break free, the heavens soar. Liberate your spirit, I implore. Concentrate and hear it, you can't ignore. Hesitate, we hear it, we all are born. Meditate, don't fear it, we all are on the river of life. Better love what you're doing. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I said, do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah, life, it's like a love affair. Into my lover's eyes, I stare deeply. Yeah, she can keep me on the plains of existence. You can meet me, I'm seeking truth. That's why I'm speaking ever so freely, ready to greet the new day with a wink and a smile. Salute the sun. All the while, all I've done, I compile, let it float down the river. No denial. We're just dust in the wind. We all are born and all will face the end. But there's no reason to be sad to experience this moment. I'm so glad. Never let it drop, go to waste. Love every step, cause it isn't a race. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I said, do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta take that leap. The universe will catch you and keep you moving. The way you gotta be, what you gotta see, who you ought to be, cause we all got our destiny. This is just life testing me. We all got some stress, let's see. No money, no home, won't let it get to me. I do what I love and love what I do. It's true, I value all the special people that includes you. If you do what you love, it's like a light from above. It's more than enough, don't need all the stuff they sell. It's like a cell, it's why I rebel. If you couldn't tell, let's break the spell and start anew. Do what you love and love what you do. Love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I say it. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I say it. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah.
Word Up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That's Illogic of Test Their Logic, and I saw some postings online. There is some words getting out that Test Their Logic might be back together as a group performing together, and I haven't confirmed that, but that's what I'm hearing. So that's one of our good news headlines. Another good news headlines in terms of the G20 related is Public Inquiry Now. Jefferson Rebu is still protesting. If you heard a few weeks ago after we played on our Ontario Ombudsman Caught in the Act special, the lone protester in front of Queen's Park, Jefferson Rebu, he actually emailed me recently saying that he was out, I think yesterday, out at Queen's Park and as well at the Toronto Police Headquarters protesting in front of these buildings, trying to bring awareness for a public inquiry now. G20 News, major headline today, December 22nd, 2010. It has happened. One officer has been charged with assault at the G20. One G20 security official, and I believe he's a Toronto police officer, has been charged with assault at the G20 in the attack on Adam Nobody. And this is a video that's been seen by a lot of people. The clip is in the Toronto G20 Exposed movie. It's a video clip that's also been on a lot of the news segments talking about this situation with Adam Nobody, who sustained some very serious injuries when he was tackled and pummeled by a riot squadron, many officers at the Queen's Park Free Speech Zone. This was during the G20 when they closed down the Free Speech Zone in Queen's Park. So out of that incident and out of that riot squadron attack, one officer is being charged. Now, we have another update as well. When we have a officer being charged, one officer being singled out and charged for this, we might want to question that. Why is only one officer being charged? But then we look at it the other way. We have an update on Alex Hundert. And Alex Hundert, if that name sounds familiar, that's because he is the protester who is in jail, who is being accused of the whole G20 Toronto riots. They're trying to blame that all on one protester. Okay, so all the assault is being blamed on one officer. All the rioting is being blamed on one protester. And Alex Hundert, I think, was actually arrested before the Saturday riot even happened. So I don't think he's being accused of actually doing a riot, but he's being accused of, I don't know, that's where it gets confusing, but you can actually hear it from his own words. Alex Hundert was interviewed in the interview posted on toronto.mediacoop.ca, and I think it was a rabble.ca podcast that was actually broadcast on AWOL radio. But if you go to toronto.mediacoop.ca, you'll see a link to it, or, rabble.ca. You can hear the words of Alex Hundert. These are words, Alex Hundert, over the phone. Those are our major headlines in terms of the G20. But in terms of following up on stories, and one of the guests we had on about a month ago or so was actually Steve of Wake Up to the NWO. And Steve told a story of when his camera was smashed during a G20 protest. And Steve, Wake Up to the NWO on YouTube, has had his camera damaged by a radical G20 security force, and the interview is now up on Toronto Media Co-op. Just in case you missed the interview a few episodes back, you can hear the interview with a video image. Video has now been found. Luckily, Steve was able to find another angle, so his complaint still is moving forward, hopefully, because Press for Truth was on the scene when this happened, when this protester's camera was smashed. One thing I wanted to mention with Press for Truth, because I mentioned Press for Truth, and I actually met up with Stephen Davies, one of the main reporters for Press for Truth. I talked with Dan Dix on the phone a few days ago, and they're actually got their new documentary, Into the Fire, coming soon, and it's going to be a big documentary, Into the Fire. And the Ontario Ombudsman footage, which I got, which we played the audio from on Word of Mouth Wednesday, Dan wanted for the movie, for Into the Fire, so I got it to, I met up with Steve and got it to him. But this Ontario Ombudsman footage, it's I'm glad to be a part of the community radio station, CKLN, to be allowed to be into Queen's Park, because actually Press for Truth, according to Press for Truth, reporters were not... the Press for Truth was not allowed to film in Queen's Park. We're not allowed to enter the Queen's Park for filming purposes when the Ombudsman made his speech in early December a few weeks back. And, that surprised me, because Press for Truth, if you actually read the Ontario Ombudsman Caught in the Act report about the G20, Press for Truth is the most frequently cited source of evidence in the Ontario Ombudsman report. And they were not allowed, apparently, they were not allowed because on the website Press for Truth, it said that they were involved with activism. And if you're an activist media, they will not allow you into a Queen's Park media room for an ombudsman report on the G20. I don't totally know all the details. That's just what I'm hearing, so... the Toronto G20 Exposed Final Cut That's coming up in 2011. There's a re-edit apparently on the way from Winx 420, and it's a documentary of the police state conditions on Canada's worst weekend. You can check out a seasonal trailer on TorontoG20Exposed.com. TorontoG20Exposed.com. Look out for the new G20 Exposed. And then I also wanted to, just because we're on the topic of G20, I wanted to give a shout-out here, shout-out and much respect to Adam Letalic, who's a filmmaker who's made the Under Occupation Toronto G20 Operation. It's a movie that is now online. Adam Letalic, a filmmaker, Under Occupation Toronto G20 Occupation. And you can watch the whole movie. It's listed on underoccupation.com. And, you know, that's why I just wanted to give a shout-out to Adam, because I remember speaking with Adam, who was the original editor of the Toronto G20 Exposed, in the summer. And I remember telling him that there would never be a police officer charged for what happened to the G20. I thought that they would totally get off the hook. I also thought that if there was ever police officers that got in trouble, that they would actually never reveal their identities. So I'm surprised today. And Adam told me that he thought that it could happen. And that was one of the main reasons why he made the Toronto G20 Exposed originally, was to hope for a public inquiry and try to, you know, show how, you know, what really went, the tyranny that went on. Well, we've got it today, December 22nd, 2010. One officer has been charged with a G20. And, you know, that's the headlines, and we're hoping for justice for all in terms of the G20. Justice for everyone that had their things smashed, whether it was property or, you know, their face. You should be able to hopefully get some justice in, you know, a country, Canada 2010. You know, this is our hope. This is our hope. Well, I thought maybe we'll just go to a track here, and then we'll be right back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Maybe we'll just go to a track by one of our favorite artists here on Word of Mouth is 95.6. Check this one out. It's a track called Trippin', 95.6. For all you political insomniacs out there, this one's for you. And we'll be right back on Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned. Word up. Word of mouth.
95.6. I'm up late last night. The kitchen tap dripping. Remember way back when I only half listened. Now I'm back in this reality kicking. For a minute I thought and I must have been tripping. It must have been the world I remember before I was ever. That was just never. Never, ever, ever, never, never land. United we standing with one in each hand. There came a time when I was nine since. That was conscience, it was really nonsense. Now I'm unconscious, they don't understand, so they think I lost it. Thought I lost it. That was not skill, it was just problems. Everybody talks quiet, that's the sound of the riot. Here we get the tires, we about to start a fire in the middle of the streets. That's a smoke screen, now the helicopter's hovering above us, can't see. We just gained an advantage, now how can that be? One in each hand, or is it just me? Stop for a second, wait, I must be tripping. It was just the tap dripping, I only half listen. Wait before when, I only half listen. Wait before when, 95, 95.6. This is when, 95, 95.6. This is when, 95.
Up Word of Mouth Wednesday, just back on the show here. We're just trying to get Cantonitha Horn on the line from the Mohawk Nation News, and we're going to try to have that interview coming up next. But I think maybe just in the meantime, we'll play a clip here, and this is a clip of Ron Stevens. And this clip was actually recorded on Sunday. There was a big event up north, and it was an event on, it was an event on all kinds of all kinds of truth. He's known as Canada's foremost authority on wind farms, and he runs the website windfarms.wordpress.com. And the topic was why wind farms. So Ron Stevens, you're going to hear in this clip, is talking about why these massive wind farms are moving in to Ontario. And when we're on the way up to Woodford, Ontario, where this big conference took place on Sunday, it's about 2.5 hours drive northwest. We drove through Kincardine, Ontario, which has a huge wind farm, and I wasn't expecting to see it, but it's a site of the future. Only one of them was spinning, but there was definitely, you know, dozens of wind, these massive turbines, you know, scattered amongst farmland, you know, farms, barns, people's houses, and it was a sight to see from the highway. This is, without any further ado, this is the Truth Conference, the Woodford Truth Conference presentation. Just a quick clip of Ron Stevens, just some of the words he said. Here's Ron Stevens talking about why wind farms, which took place on December 19th, 2010. This is it. And stay tuned, Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is Ron Stevens.
Your religion is paganism. And you are to worship Mother Earth. And once we have people in that mindset, you don't mind giving up your water, right to water. You don't mind paying more for electricity. You don't mind being regulated to death. Because you've come to, I mean, it's a psychological war we're in. Okay? And we have to overcome it somehow. Anyways, this is out of Dalton's mouth. Okay, this is from 206 Hansard. I think the member opposite knows that when it comes to natural gas prices, they tend to be volatile, and remains a significant contributor to global warming. Wind turbines, we're investing heavily in those, but again, those are an expensive form of electricity and they're not reliable. Why would you invest in this? It makes no sense.
Now, one thing all of these people tend to say
is that we're doing all of this to save us from global warming. We're spending what should have cost us between 10 and 12 billion, according to the senior policy advisor. This is gonna cost us, we're already at the $87 billion mark, and now they're talking, you know, it's gonna run over 100 billion. This is part and parcel being used to help to bankrupt us. We're borrowing the money from the IMF. They bankrupt us. IMF is United Nations, as a World Bank. Boom, gotcha. Okay, this is a trap. It was actually the Harris government who first started moving this wind program through, the renewable program through. Then we got McGuinty. Now we're likely gonna have Hudak here next, okay? So it's going to keep on moving down the line. He's telling people now that if you vote conservative, we'll do something about what McGuinty's trying to do you. But here he is in 207 espousing the Tory mandate on renewable energy, that they're going to do an even better job than Dalton McGuinty. In the 207, because I ran in the 207 election as an independent, in the 207 election platform book put out by Tory and the Conservatives, they promised more wind than the Liberals if elected. Okay, so we got a real problem here. This is a land grab, nothing more. Both of these parties, all parties, are telling us we have to fight global warming. The problem is global warming, or man-made global warming, is as phony as a $3 bill. And they tell you it's phony. The Club of Rome was set up in 1968 as a manufacturer of crisis. They create the problem, the NGOs, the media, the schools, the churches, okay, give you the reaction or work you into the reaction they want to come to the solution that you think is good, only this is a preconceived solution based on the problem. Okay, so you have no input in this whatsoever. In other words, you are in the audience. And we got to get ourselves out of the audience because we just react to what keeps coming at us. We have to start writing a script. We have to supply the actors. Because as long as they got the actors and they got the script writers, we're screwed. Anyways, all we need is a right major crisis. Okay, that crisis was global warming because it's not a crisis you can put your finger on. Okay, it's out there. Okay, so we can work with it. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we come up with the idea. When they come up with the idea, science didn't precede the idea. They came up with the idea long before the IPCC got involved in it. Okay, they've created the problem. They bring in the IPCC in order to start working the reaction and looking for the solution. From the IPCC, we need to get some broad-based support to capture the public's imagination, so we have to offer up scary scenarios, make simplified, dramatic statements, and make little mention of any doubts. Each of us has to decide, these are supposed to be scientists, each of us has to decide what is the right balance between being effective and being honest. There's no science in it. Never was, because they came up with the idea. Okay, if we have the right idea, we can get people to give up their rights. We can get them to succumb to what we want, which is one world government, one world religion. And you may say, what's this got to do with wind farms? Everything. Because it's all part and parcel of the game. People are going to their council meetings thinking they're having input on this renewable energy thing. They don't. Because your council is working to implement the one world government. It's called global to local. Okay?
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So those were some controversial words there from Ron Stevens. Ron Stevens, who's been, at work up north in Toronto, or at least north of Toronto, trying to get, some words and some political action on these wind farms. You can check out his site, windfarms.wordpress.com, a site that he's run since 2006. We got some more audio though too from that, and I got some video footage too that I'm hopefully going to post on YouTube. You're going to find some more out about the truth, what's been going on, here locally in Canada and around. So that's a bit about what we're talking about when we're talking about the wind farms. And I told you a bit about what I saw when we were driving up to this Woodford, Ontario. Well, let's maybe just go to a music break here, because I wasn't able to get Cantonita the Horn on the line, but hopefully I'll try again here. We'll see if we can get her on. But until then, why don't we just check out a track here. This is a track called Legacy. It's dedicated to Michael Jackson, and it is by Ian Kamau and Danny O, some of the local scene's top hip-hop artists. So check it out, Kamau and Danny O, Legacy. This is Word of Mouth Wednesday on CKLN 88.1 FM. And without any further ado, this is it. This is...
This is it.
While I'm here, let me shine my light to the flow of the love inside. As long as I'm blessed to speak, I'll be working on my legacy. Cause I don't wanna live my life and leave nothing left behind. So while the Lord lets me breathe, I'm working on
on my legacy.
Yo, just finished watching Michael Jackson's memorial. Unimaginably impactful and historical. Heaven's oracle taught that the world can be horrible, but he implored you to find the divine from the deplorable. How did you make an aberration adorable? How did you steer off infection when killer bees were swarming you? How do I ensure the impossible is affordable? How do I make a change cause my voice is recordable? Mike, I thought of you when I was writing this verse to fight off the curse, the opposite of which you'd find worse. As you ride in that hearse, my eye convey with pride I have burst. It finally works, I realize I shine on this earth. While you were a strong stomper, I was just a meat creeper. But MLK said be proud if you a street sweeper. And Al Sharpton ruffled and woke up the deep sleepers and told your kids it's strange the world for the peacekeeper. You know what I find strange? I find it strange that you're gone. You know what I find wrong? To write your name in the song. In the past tense, it's strange I'm remaining this strong. Cause since I was born, the top is where your reign is belong. I cried today, but Michael Jackson, I'm alive to say with platinum and diamonds you've paved and aligned the way for me to see my future's filled with many brighter days. And I'm here to leave a legacy behind to stay.
While I'm here, let me shine my light to discover all the love inside. As long as I'm blessed to speak, I'll be working on my legacy. Cause I don't wanna live my life and leave nothing left behind. So while the Lord lets me breathe, I'm working on my legacy.
Yeah.
This is it.
I am basking in the light of a single star, skin blacker than the night. Walking on the moon, one small step, I'll be leaping soon. We all get confused, I'm forever a child, and it's true. I'm a lost boy too, but not as lost as you in dreams. I realize realities, living on a earth, what a fallacy move. Galaxies made like molecules built, and who's that peeking in my windowsill? There's a light in the night that we can't see, and darkness feels a lot like me. I'm so free, midnight marauder with a hood overhead, trying to escape words I should not have said. I hope they don't notice, I keep the world in focus, breathe.
While I'm here, let me shine my light, to discover all the love inside. As long as I'm blessed to speak, I'll be working on my legacy. Cause I don't wanna live my life and leave nothing left behind. So while the Lord lets me breathe, I'm working on my legacy.
Yeah.
And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Yes. Yeah. And we still moonwalking.
This is it. Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. Back here, it's about 7:43 p.m. according to our clocks here in the studio, CKLN, broadcasting from the campus of Ryerson University. And we're in downtown Toronto. It is the winter. It is, I guess the first day of winter might have been yesterday. But, you know, so today is, you know, second or third day of winter. The fall's up. And we're in the coldness. And, well, there's been a lot of things going on. There's been so many things. And, you know, I mentioned a bunch of them in the headlines, talking about the G20, talk about all the stuff that's going on in terms of these, you know, government bills and acts and laws. And, well, if you wanted to call in, if anybody out there wants to call in, you can give us a call, 416-595-1655. We did try to get Cantonetha Horn of the Mohawk Nation News on the phone, so hopefully she's doing all right, but we weren't able to. One announcement I did see actually today, this one came out today, and this was an announcement from a press release, news release from Russell Means, I guess we've had on the past, Russell Means of the Lakota Nation, Republic of Lakota. And actually, the Russell Means connection, actually interviewed Russell Means, the Republic of Lakota, based on a reference. He was referenced in a Mohawk Nation News article that Cantonetha Horn wrote a few years ago. That would have been in the, right at the beginning of 2008, I think. That was the way that I was able to get his contact. And then after I interviewed Russell Means, I've been trying to keep track of what's been going on with the Republic of Lakota, the idea that there is a Lakota nation that's withdrawn from all agreements and treaties with the United States to become an independent nation. Republic of Lakota has opened today. The news release said today they have now opened an indigenous bank, also known as the iBank, and it's the official bank of the Republic of Lakota. So they now have a banking industry. So that is a big step in terms of, you know, being a sovereign republic. If you wanted to, so I was just going to mention, if in case anybody out there wants to call in, because we do have some extra time here at the end of the show, you can give us a call, 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655. The phone will be open for any topic, I guess, but because there is so many topics to think of, so I'm sure if you got anything to say, if you want to get your voice out across the community airwaves, just give us a call. But until then, maybe I just wanted to, what I could do actually is play a clip here. I've got a clip here and I just wanted to do a bit of a disclaimer here at the start of this clip, just in case words are potentially offensive, just because I guess this could be a potentially offensive, just because the stories are very serious that we're talking about here. But I'm playing this because it is I'm a truth seeker. I'm looking for the truth, and this is a report from the streets of Vancouver. And the person that did this audio report here is Kevin Annett, who we actually played his intro, if you heard it at the start of the show. That's this one, and it's, you know, we play a, we've been playing a 10-second drop with a Kevin Annett talking about what he's doing with the Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared, and he says to listen to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Now,
this is Kevin Annett with the Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
And now that's a controversial, this is a controversial voice to be having on the radio, because I guess because the words are getting out now that Kevin Annett was banned from the show that he had hosted, the station he had hosted a show on for like a decade, Vancouver Co-op Radio. He's been banned from there. So he's been sending out audio reports, and I think he's been doing a blog talk radio show. But this report here is called Three Stories, Three Children on the Requiem Road. And it's sort of like the information you're going to get if you check out his website, hiddenfromhistory.org, about the situation, what's been going on, the legacy, I guess, from the residential schools in Canada that Native children were sent to and sent away from their parents, taken to a residential school, mainly, you know, usually run by a church, and there's many horror stories from those. So this is some of those horror stories.
And December 1st, and I'd like to read to you a couple of reflections I wrote about events that happened to me this past week. It's entitled, Three Stories, Three Children, on the Requiem Road. The elderly Native man stares at the white woman across the table of the Greasy Spoon in Kamloops, British Columbia, where they both wait for a bus. It is November 25th, 2010. His name is George. I live my whole life on a reserve just south of Calgary, he says. As a young boy, I got taken to the Catholic residential school north of us. That's where I got all of these. The man lifts his shirt and reveals deep scars on his chest and arms. Another deep furrow runs across his head. But that wasn't the worst. It happened one night in winter, cold as hell and blowing hard. These three little girls from our reserve had all been raped by the head priest. The oldest girl was only 7. The others must have been 5 or 6. The eldest one said to the others they had to run away. They was just in little cotton nightgowns, no shoes or nothing. But they escaped and ran off into that blizzard. The man looks down and shakes his head. They didn't get more than a mile. I was on the search team that found him. All three of them were still holding each other's little hands, lying face down in the snow. When we reached him, the priest, the guy who'd raped him, got all mad and started cursing like he was mad at them. That's when I saw the oldest girl start moving. She weren't dead. But when the priest saw her move, she told me to just leave her there. He turned away from her and left her there, dying in the snow. The man is about to continue when his bus arrives. I couldn't leave her there, he begins. He turns to his wife, who has sat next to him the entire time, nodding sadly. We gotta go, he says to the white woman. Far to the west, a day later, William Coombs shuffles into the Ovaltine Cafe on Vancouver's Hastings Street Skid Row with his few belongings stuffed in a backpack. He nods and smiles at me, for we haven't seen each other in weeks. I've been drinking again, really bad, he begins apologetically, for he knows how much I rely on him and how he relies on that reliance. The memories again? I ask. Yeah, but it's like, now I ain't got nowhere to talk about it. Not now, with your radio show gone. That was the way I got by, talking on the show. I nod, remembering with more than anger how his lifeline was severed so brutally. I say quickly, I've got a new show, a blog radio program. You have to come on it. He looks at me wearily, then reaches into his bag and extracts a nearly empty bottle and swigs from it. We let the minutes tick by, hoping for something. Finally, William says, Remember when the Queen came to our school? How she took away those 10 kids? Yeah, I checked on that. She was definitely in B.C. in the fall of 64. I remember their names, some of them, the boys. I pull out my notepad. There was Harvey and Ralph Parker, Métis boys from Lytton. They were in the group taken away by the Queen and Philip after the picnic at Dead Man's Creek. 5 other boys went, and 3 girls. They were all in the smart group in school. The 10 children were never seen again. Are you remember anything else, William? I asked. He nods sadly. George Adolph and Ralph Arnous, they were with me that day. They saw the kids taken away, and how she made them all kiss her foot. What? The Queen had on these white gloves, and she put out her foot and told all those 10 kids they had to kiss it. They all did. William shuddered and started coughing. I started talking about it the next day in school, said it wasn't right. Then the nun told me if I said anything against the Queen, I'd get killed for it. I stopped jotting notes and looked at him carefully. There's more, isn't there? The man nodded. I seen Brother Murphy throw that epileptic boy off the fire escape 3 stories up. Murphy did that to a bunch of kids. How many? William screws up his eyes and stutters. Happened all the time. I'd say 15, 20. He killed that many kids? Sure. Nobody survives that kind of fall. Murphy burned a few of them in the school furnace. I saw him do it once. William wouldn't eat anything that day. I managed to get some oatmeal into him, but he quickly threw it up into a urinal. That night, waiting for a bus on Hastings Street and sheltering from the rain, I encountered Josephine, an Aboriginal prostitute I've known for years. Somehow, she's still alive, although tonight she was bleeding from a new wound to her forehead. Eduardo did it. I still owe him. She sat next to me in the bus cubicle, watching warily for the Guatemalan pimp and drug dealer who rules a 2-block stretch of Hastings Street as his personal fief. The cops don't go near him. Rumor has it that he used to be a political activist in his homeland. Now he murders people. Killed Francine by jumping on her head over at the Patricia, recounted Joe to me once years ago. She owed him $50. Made the mistake of telling him off. Joe was cold that night, and I offered her my coat. She smiled shyly and declined. Are you safe? I asked. She just tilted her head at the stupidity of the question, but being native, said nothing. After a few minutes, she stood and prepared to leave me, but mumbled, You be careful, Kev. Nobody's talking nowadays. We've been told not to. Told by who? I asked. She looked frightened for the first time. A cop car drove by and slowed down. She hurried away into the wet night. www.hiddenfromhistory.org. Pass it on.
So those are that's a very strong, is a very strong story, a very, emotional story, serious things going on with people's lives there. I guess three sketches of different people's lives, 3 stories, 3 children on the Requiem Road by Kevin Annett. That's the audio you just heard. And that's based on the real experiences of Kevin Annett, the work that he's doing in the streets of Vancouver. And that's why I think it's important to get the the message out, because these are the things that aren't really talked about. And if you watch Kevin Annett's movie, the movie about him that you'll find on hiddenfromhistory.org, Unrepentant, and it's an award-winning movie, you'll get a lot more, you'll get a feature-length story about what happened to some people in these Indian residential schools and what happened to Kevin Annett himself when he started reporting on these issues when he was a minister himself in a I think he was in the United Church, but now he's basically in a group. One of his groups is called the Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared, and the disappeared, they're talking about the children that never came home from the residential schools. And his other group is called Tribunal for the Crimes of the Church and or Tribunal Against the Crimes of Church and State, I believe it is. It's about setting up a tribunal investigating the crimes that the church and the state have colluded on doing, and that involves these residential schools, and then it also involves a deeper scam into land claims and land property ownership and, land ownership. This is the kind of information you'll find on hiddenfromhistory.org, and that's why I suggest you check it out. And, check that out. Also, check out check out what's been going on with Mohawk Nation News. You can check out Cantonitha Horn's work at mohawknationnews.com because she's got quite a story. We're going to try to have her on in a future week because we weren't able to get her on tonight. But we're also going to be, hopefully next week, we're going to be doing a year in review, a wrap-up of 2010, because it would be the last show of December, last show of the month, or last show of the year as well. So 2010, we'll be talking about that as well next week. Maybe we'll even open up the phone lines as well. And also, I wanted to make sure we thanked Robin Yetzo for his segment there. Early on in the show, we played about this anti-SLAPP advisory panel report, the anti-SLAPP lawsuits, what we're talking about going on here, and his interview with Shane Moffitt, who is the legal communications director with Greenpeace Canada. So that was good to hear. And then also, I wanted to thank the organizers for the Woodford Truth Conference that took place. And just wanted to mention Ron Stevens' website again, windfarms.wordpress.com. That's a very controversial issue, very important issue at the wind farms. Ron Stevens' wind farms issue because of the plans for the future involve something close to 5,000 wind farms. The biggest actual wind farm in the world would be in Ontario. So who knows what the future is going to hold, and who knows how this can be afforded, and who knows what's next. But what I do know is that next up on the CKLN airways on the 88.1 FM frequency is the Blue Remedy. The Blues Dr. Julie Hill is in the studio. She's getting ready for her show. So I just wanted to thank everyone again for listening. Wish everyone a happy holidays. And shout out to all the people that are hoping for the public inquiry now into the G20, because that was our big headline for the day. If you check out the front page of the newspaper, front page of Toronto Star, you'll see it for sure, is one officer has been charged for assault at the G20. This is in December 22nd for things that happened in June 2010. This is the timing here. We're almost at the end of the show. So I just wanted to mention again, my name is Daniel Libby. Thank again all of the people at CKLN who came out last week to the bylaws voting meeting. There is a new sheriff in town. New bylaws, new laws are on the books for CKLN. So look out for those. And also just wanted to thank all the listeners, thank all the volunteers here on CKLN, people who are working to keep the radio station going. And then also wanted to thank all the Ryerson students, of course. They're very important for the station. And just wanted to make sure you keep listening to CKLN, because Blues Dr. Julie Hill is coming up next. This has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby, and stay tuned. Word up, Toronto Tree Seekers. Word is bond. Cold Fusion now. Keep it real. Word out.
get to the top when the river.